I want to start with a quote by Brother Garland Robinson. He is a preacher down in the southern part of the United States, and I think it's a way for us to kind of begin a self-examination. That's what this morning is about, a self-examination. He wrote, "Most people live as though they cannot disobey God, or that at least it doesn't make any difference if they do." Now let those words kind of settle into your thinking this morning, because I think there's a lot of truth in what he wrote. Many people either believe they cannot disobey God, in other words, there's no way for them to do that, or that it really doesn't make any difference if they do. Some people, of course, don't even believe in God. Some people believe that if God does exist, he certainly would never send anyone to an eternal hell. So you have those types of people that either don't believe you can disobey or that it doesn't make any difference. There's a number of ways, and this is where the self-examination comes in. There's a number of ways in which the Bible says we can disobey God. And I think it's very important that we look at each of these ways and not just think about one or two of them, but look at all of these ways and use it kind of as a magnifying glass to look at our own lives, to make sure we're not disobeying God in a way that maybe we didn't even realize. Some of these are probably pretty obvious, and some of them you may have heard many times. Some maybe not quite so much. So that's why it's so important that we use this to examine, to focus on our own lives, to see if there are ways in which we've been disobeying God and not even realizing it. And probably the most obvious way to begin with is by doing something that's specifically forbidden. I think most of us would realize that doing something that God specifically forbids is disobeying God. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, John writes these words. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. John writes, "Whoever," well, that's pretty all-encompassing, isn't it? "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." Sin is lawlessness. What is sin? It's when we transgress God's law. When God says, you're not to do this, you're not to hate your neighbor. Well, if we hate our neighbor, then we realize that we are transgressing God's law. We're practicing lawlessness. And most of us realize the so-called obvious things, like not stealing or not killing or not committing adultery and things like that. But yet, there's a lot of other things that maybe aren't so obvious. The Bible strictly forbids lying. And you may think, well, I never lie. Well, and maybe you don't, and that's great. But there's a lot of ways in which one can lie. Cheating is lying. Are you being honest, really, really honest at school or at work or with your neighbors or whoever? See, lying is something that's strictly forbidden. Being jealous is strictly forbidden. You know, jealousy and envy is some of those works of the flesh that Paul wrote to the Galatian churches about. You know, when we read those works of the flesh, we think about, you know, murder and adultery and things like that. And yeah, we don't do those things. But have you been jealous or envious of somebody for some reason? Because the Bible strictly forbids that type of action. Have you ever said, boy, if I had what so-and-so had, then I could do this? Well, that's being envious. Or, boy, I wish I had what so-and-so had. Man, that would be great. My life would be so much better. That's being envious. That's being jealous of other people and what they have or what they can do. So when we transgress, when we do something that's strictly forbidden, we're disobeying God. There are countless examples in the Bible of people who did that. And we could probably spend the entire time this morning just looking at examples of those. The world loves to sin. You don't have to live in the world very long or travel very far to see how much the world loves to sin. The world loves to sin. The same writer talked about the fact that the whole world lies in wickedness. It lies in sin. And when we disobey God, we're being like the world. We're being like the world. Now, the second one is maybe the one that probably I have to look at the most, and that is refusing or not doing what God has commanded. There's a lot of things in the Bible that God has commanded. I love what one person wrote. I read this years ago. Said, when you open up the pages of the New Testament, you start reading through it, and you go until you find something you haven't done, and when you find it, you go do it. I love that philosophy. You start reading and until you find something that you haven't done yet. Then you go do it. And I think there's a lot of areas in which we might fall short. You know, in James chapter 4, James is very clear about this. In verses 16 and 17, the last two verses in that chapter, James says, you need to self-examine. You need to get the magnifying glass out. You need to look at your life carefully. Verse 16, James writes, but now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. To him it's what? It's sin. So as we go through, we start looking and we start reading and studying and we go through the New Testament and we see what Christ did in the apostles. Then we go to the book of Acts and see what the apostles and various disciples did since the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2. And then we go from Romans all the way to the book of Revelation. We see various epistles that were written. And we go and we see, you know, there are some things here that I'm not doing. Paul wrote, as did others, about giving. Paul wrote so much about giving. And I encourage you to just read the passages in the Bible, just in the New Testament, that talk about giving and its significance. And those verses pretty much come down to one thing. Those verses say that giving is a reflection of how grateful you are. That's what it's about. Giving is a reflection. It reveals how grateful you are to God. Number one, for sending His Son, because without Him, then life would just be hopeless. But number two, because of what He's done for you. We talked this morning in class about various gifts and talents and abilities and resources that God has given us. The more grateful we are for those, the more we give, the more we return, the more we're concerned about other people. And I'm not just talking about the contribution we have on Sunday. While that's very, very important, it's not the only giving that we need to be doing. We need to find, you know, we see people all the time or situations all the time in which we can help. Well, the Bible says when we know to do good, that if we choose not to do it, in other words, we have the ability to do it, we know it needs to be done, and we choose simply not to do it. Maybe we're lazy, maybe we don't want to put forth the time or effort or resources, whatever the reason. The Bible says it's sin, plain and simple. It says it's sin. We remember we've been studying 1 Samuel on Wednesday night, several chapters back. In chapter 15, we talked about Saul and the Amalekites and what Saul did. You know, he was told to go in and utterly destroy the Amalekites. But did he do that? Nope. Now, he was given a specific command, very clear, very easy to understand. You go in and don't spare a single individual. But Saul chose to spare the king, didn't he? He chose to spare the king. And then when he was confronted with his sin, what did he do? He started to make some excuses. Well, it wasn't really me, it was actually the people that did it. It was the passing the buck syndrome. And he did that. He was given a specific command. And so are we in so many different ways. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. John has a lot to say about obeying and disobeying. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." For this is the love of God. This shows, John says, that we love God if we keep His commandments. So there's how we display our love. So when we choose to not partake of the Lord's Supper, or we choose not to give, or we choose not to sing, or choose not to study, when we choose not to give all diligence, when we choose not to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks us of the reason of the hope that's within us, if we choose not to do those things, the Bible says it shows we really don't have the love of God that we need. And he says it's sin. And he says that is disobedience. He says it's disobedience. We shouldn't question God. Whenever God tells us to do something, it's for good. Praying is for our good. Giving's for our good. Singing's for our good. Studying is for our good. Teaching is for our good. Telling our neighbor about Christ is for our good. He says it's good to do that. Being honest, that's good. That's for our good. It makes the world a better place. All those things do. The third way we can disobey God is by adding to what the Bible says. And our world, unfortunately, is filled with people who do that. This is something that God has never allowed even from the very beginning. Let's go back to the Old Testament first. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Read with me this verse. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And verse 2. If you haven't read this verse in a long time, it might be one you want to note or write down. Because it isn't just a New Testament concept. This has been around from the very beginning. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Now notice what he says there, and I hope we didn't skip over that too fast. He says that if you add to or take away, you're not keeping the commands. It's only when you don't add or don't take away that you can truly say you're keeping the commands. So it doesn't make any difference what part of God's Word, if I choose to add something to it or take something from it, I am not obeying God. And of course, the very end of the Bible says the same thing, right? Revelation chapter 22. Some of the very last words in the Bible tell us the same thing. And notice how important this is. And of course, this applies not only to the book of Revelation, but to the entire Bible. Verse 18, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book." Everyone who hears this. "If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." So I disobey God when I add to His Word or when I take away from His Word. Either way, the Bible says I am disobeying God. Can we do that today? Can we add to God's Word? Oh my, we sure can in so many ways. People do it, don't they? But we're not allowed to. But people do it all the time. They add to the name of the church, don't they? Or instead of being called Christians, they add. Well, what kind of Christian are you? Well, that doesn't even make sense. You're either a Christian or you're not. You're not a particular type of Christian, so that's adding to it. The Bible's very specific how we worship God. So if I add ways, then I'm disobeying God by adding those. And regardless of the motive, whether it's sincere or not, it doesn't make any difference. If I'm adding to God's Word, I'm disobeying God. If I add to the Lord's Supper, instead of those two basic elements, simple elements, I add and make something in addition to it. I add a third or a fourth. Well, I'm disobeying God when I do that. And maybe you sincerely want to make it better. Well, you can't make it better. It's the best. Well, this morning it was the best. God knew exactly what He was doing, and it's the very best. So anything I add to it, I'm actually taking away from it. And the Bible says it's disobedience. If I add anything to God's plan of salvation for man, I'm disobeying God. If I add something to that simple plan, I am disobeying God. If I say, well, in addition, you have to do this or that or this or that, I'm disobeying God. I can't do that. Because the plan is perfect. I am not to go beyond any of those things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said much the same thing. Notice what he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul writes, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written." Other translations have "go beyond what is written." I can't go beyond God's Word. I'm not allowed to go beyond God's Word. It is set. Going beyond God's Word, adding to God's Word, is disobeying God. If I come up with a creed or a manual or any of those type of things, if I add different additional types of worship, anything like that is disobeying God. And then, of course, the opposite, taking away from God's Word. You know, the Bible is specific about how man comes to God. And if I take away any of that, I'm disobeying God. And I may have the most sincere reasons imaginable for taking away from that. I may have the purest motives, but sincerity doesn't save. So just like I can't add to God's Word, I can't take away from it either. Some want to take repentance away from how one is saved. They don't want to require people to repent because that's too hard. You know, when we repent, we have to give up things. You ever think about that? Repentance is giving up. Because when I repent, I have to give up doing what I want. And when I repent, I have to turn things over to God and do what He wants. It's a complete changing of your will. So some want to take that away. Or some want to take away making a confession. Or some want to take away water baptism. Or whatever. You just go on and on and on. Some want to take away from worship. Instead of having the Lord's Supper every Sunday, which the Bible commands, they take away from that. Well, we'll have it just once a month. Or we'll have it once a quarter, once a year. That's taking away from God's Word. So there's many ways people do that today and have throughout time. And then the very last way is kind of in between the taking away and the adding, and that is substituting. Many today want to substitute the elements of the Lord's Supper, even though it clearly says what they're to be in the New Testament. They're to be the fruit of the vine and unleavened bread, but some substitute different things for that. Well, the Bible says that's disobeying God. God has told us exactly what He wants. We understand this in every realm. At work, we understand. Regardless of what kind of work you do, you don't go around substituting what your supervisor told you. Well, you do it at risk if you do it. Or at school, or wherever it is. You don't expect your kids to substitute something when you told them specifically what to get or what to do. Well, that's the same way it is in God's Word. We're not allowed to substitute what we want for what God has said. You know, Nadab and Abihu did that, didn't they? To their destruction. They substituted God's fire, or their fire, for God's fire. You know, they were supposed to use a particular fire, and they knew exactly what to use, and they chose a different one to their destruction. They substituted. Other people have done that. Jeroboam did that. Instead of worshiping in Jerusalem, what did he do? He substituted Dan and Bethel, one at the northern end, one at the southern end of his particular country. So people have done that throughout time. And every time, God has not been pleased. They have been, in one way or another, punished. People do that today in the religious world. You've witnessed how God has authorized us to raise funds for the church. And that's a free will offering. And that's the only way authorized. But people have substituted everything imaginable for that. You know, bake sales and this and that and everything imaginable. Well, that's substituting what God has told us we should do. They've substituted. And they've substituted preaching. A lot of religious groups today don't have preaching. And they've substituted everything imaginable for that. They have dramatic groups, or they have plays or entertainment of different kinds, or this or that. So they've substituted what God has said. That's the way He said it must be done. Well, they've substituted. Because they think maybe they can make it better. Well, they can't make it better. What God has given us and authorized us and told us is the best. There isn't anything better than what God has told us. And the list, of course, could go on. People have substituted sprinkling for immersion in baptism. And the list is just endless of substitutions that people have done, and maybe sincerely. But they're still sincerely wrong, and that's what's important. We must be sincere, but we must obey. Our obedience must be a sincere obedience. It must come from the heart, and it must come for the right reasons. Place after place after place, the Bible emphasizes how important it is for us to know God's Word and follow it. You know, Jesus said, "My words will judge you in the last day." Peter said that the Word was incorruptible and it has the power to save and it endures forever. The end of 1 Peter chapter 1. So we can disobey God, but for us to really know, we have to use it. We have to use His Word as a magnifying glass to examine our lives to see. And that's why it's so important. And it's something that we have to do more than just daily. We might need to do it several times a day. Because the last thing we want to hear is, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." We want to hear, Enter into the joys of your Lord. That's what we want to hear. Sincere obedience. Or as the song says, trust and obey. That's what God desires. This morning, if you have not put the Lord on in baptism, if you're ready to do that and you understand the necessity of it, we encourage you to do that. If you realize, maybe after this morning, that you have not been obeying God in any number of ways, and you're willing to make that confession and turn things around, then we want you to do that as well. And so if you have any need, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.